The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our meeting.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the greatest lies that Satan has succeeded in is convincing people that he is simply a metaphor, a figment, a mythical creature in Scripture, and not a real being. You see, if you don't think that Satan exists, he can very easily work under the radar in your life. Scripture, however, reveals Satan for who he truly is. This is clear from his presence in the garden as the tempter of Adam and Eve, and also in the presence of Jesus while he was fasting for 40 days in the desert. It is the work of Jesus in overcoming Satan and the forces of evil that comes to a climax in our reading from Revelation chapter 12 this morning. There we heard of the work of God's angels, namely Michael and company, in bringing an end to the activity of Satan, known as the accuser, who accuses sinners before God day and night. Satan is depicted here in this scene as a prosecuting attorney who argues against sinners before God. He accuses sinners of not being worthy of fellowship with God on earth and for eternity in heaven. And today we learn how this all comes to an end. Now, Satan's rebellion and removal from heaven is one of these mysteries of which our Lord tells us very little of in Scripture. We do know that Satan led a substantial rebellion of angels after creation and before the fall of Adam and Eve. In Revelation 12:4, it tells us that up to one-third of the angels listened to the temptation that Satan used on Adam and Eve. You will be like God. Our text for this morning is one of those few places where certain details of this mystery is made clear. We also read about it in the book of Job and Revelation 12. Both make it clear that after Satan's fall, he still has access to the presence of God for some time. And his primary activity is bringing accusations before God against sinners. The accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. This scene is not a very nice one. The powerful angel Satan kept reminding God about the sins of mankind 24 hours a day. The one who deceived Adam and Eve continued to remind God of the ongoing pattern of sin of Adam's descendants all the way, including us. The prophet Zechariah's vision shows Satan engaged in his favorite activity. We read, Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not the brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed in filthy garments. And the angel said to him, Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I clothe you in pure vestments. The picture here is clear. Satan loved the power to stand before God, accusing and condemning sinners. The angel of the Lord, who here is the pre-incarnate Jesus, has to defend Joshua, the priest, against those accusations. The good news we hear in our text this morning is that his accusation activity of Satan is no longer effective due to his defeat in this great war, where he is cast from heaven and thrown to earth. Now a war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer a place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. No longer does Satan have his day in God's court to bring accusations against us. Michael and one of God's archangels and his good angels did battle with Satan and prevailed. Now, it appears at first glance that the source of this victory is the power of Michael and these angels of God, as if Satan and his angels were not as strong. But there's far more to it than that. Our text once again tells us how martyred Christians overcame Satan and evil angels. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. If this is how Christians overcame Satan, then it is also how Michael and his angels overcame Satan. So credit is given where credit is due, and the credit is the blood of the Lamb. Clearly, this is a reference to Jesus as the unblemished, perfect sacrifice whose blood makes payment for all sins of mankind. The basis for Satan's removal as the accuser before God is the blood of the Lamb. Satan can no longer accuse sinners because Jesus paid the price for all sin. He has taken his place before God as the advocate for all sinners. Instead of Satan standing before God accusing us, Jesus now stands before God pleading and interceding on our behalf. St. John in his first epistle writes, "If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not just for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Even St. Paul tells us about Jesus' defense. Christ Jesus is the one who intercedes for us. The source, then, of the victory in heaven is the blood of the Lamb. This victory in heaven then brings us hope here on earth. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. Now, I will admit, on the surface, that doesn't sound very good for any of us, does it? Yet in spite of Satan's wrath, we who live on the earth have hope because Satan can no longer accuse us before God. You see, your sins were drowned in the waters of baptism, or forgiven in absolution, or pardoned through the eating of Jesus' body and drinking of his blood in the bread and wine in the Holy Communion. You stand forgiven before God in heaven. Jesus is your advocate. Satan can no longer accuse you. And along with that, we are reminded that the same angels that cast Satan from heaven are the very angels who guard and watch over each and every one of us every day. Michael and all the good angels have the victory of Jesus on their side. They do not meet Satan and his angels as equals, for they are superior in the Lord. And while we live here on this earth, we see what evil looks like in its advancement all around us. But we need only remember and fast forward to chapter 20 of Revelation, where we see Satan's destiny. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. On this day, we thank God for his victory in heaven, won by Jesus on the cross and carried out by Michael and the angelic hosts. This victory fills our earthly struggles with hope as we press on toward our heavenly goal. Surrounded and protected by these angels, we join in their voices in praising the Lamb. Worthy are you, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, for every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and a priest for our God, and they shall reign on the earth. To God alone be all the glory. Amen.